It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
All right, and Mike on assignment this week. It's all right. I think I can handle this one myself. Hey, y'all, Sean Sullivan. And it is another edition of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you by McConnell Buick GMC. Glad to have them aboard, and good to have you here. A lot of fishing in the discussion today. Of course, we'll talk about saltwater fishing and some questions about red snapper. Does it? You know, we've had some weekends. I don't think the fishing effort has been very, very high. So can we squeak a few more weeks out in this? So we'll talk about that in the mix. Also, we'll talk about some hunting today. Well, actually, it was Thursday. Legalized, you can buy the license amendment and hunt coyotes and hogs at night. So that's new. We'll get into that discussion as well. And on the fishing front, on the Sweetwater side, it's our buddy, Captain Wayne Miller, joining us to talk about it. Not fishing, it's catching that he does in the Mobile Tensaw River Delta. Hey, Captain Wayne.
Hey, Sean, how you doing, buddy?
Not as good as you. Saw the pictures from your last week here, and you have been working them over. And, I mean, this is heat. This is hot summer. It's not August, but it's been pretty darn hot, and you've got some great fish in these photos.
Yeah, you know, Sean, it's really a very unusual set of circumstances that we've had. You know, most people have really been kind of afraid to go because of the high water. And, you know, this past Sunday, just to show you, the Barry steam plant reading was over 9 feet.
Yep.
Now, by Thursday, it was down to 7 feet, a little below seven. And, but what I've been targeting and what the few people I've seen out fishing have been doing is we've been going, especially down along the causeway, going up in the bays and up in the creeks and getting up where you've got that little bit cleaner water. Now, you don't want to go down in the ends of the creeks where they intersect the main rivers because that's still muddy. But, man, the further up you go, you're going to start seeing that water get nice. And, man, as soon as I see that transition on the water color, you know, where I've got about 2 to 3 foot of visibility, man, I've been just targeting starting right there. It's just been a phenomenal week for topwater. I've been doing really well with a buzz bait, something that I know you don't like to throw.
No. Know, one of my favorite. I want to get into how you're picking these apart and catching these great fish, but the takeaway to people who don't do this like you, or, you know, I mean, that don't fish as much and they're getting into bass fishing or they're casual. You know, one of the great things you and I have talked about over the years is we've got this Mobile Tensaw River Delta system, and you can adjust north and upriver, downriver. We have that flooded scenario, but there's still somewhere to go. I mean, if you were just up on the river system, you'd be messed up, but you can come down here to the causeway, you know, a lot closer to this end and find some decent water to fish.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, what's really amazing is, you know, you mentioned at the start of the show, you know, about how hot it is. And as we transition toward the end of the week, it got pretty hot.
Yeah.
You know, even though we were getting showers every day, man, that temperature is still high. But the water temperature, Sean, just about every morning, the water temperature in these creeks, believe it or not, has been running 78 to 80, 81 degrees.
Wow. How much of that is influenced
You're talking about water that's barely out of the 70s.
Right. So what, in your opinion there, is that we've had the big thunderstorms like we get, you know, here on the Gulf Coast. You had that kind of rainfall, but do you think that temperature is affected by that or cloud cover or the kind of the ambient temperature of the flood water coming down the rivers?
You know, it's pretty much ambient temperature of the flood water.
Okay.
You know, and it
cools,
you know,
everything
even
else
when
off.
That water was up extremely high moving through the woods, you know, that's all water from up north.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it just kept that temperature down. Well, you know, these fish still think it's, you know, April. And, you know, temperature-wise, they think it's April and May. You know, they don't realize we're already in July.
Good point. Good. So, no, it's a real good point. I mean, what, like, things having in nature having silver linings. Like, there's bad parts of things. You know, we talk about, well, it floods up the river, makes it hard to fish. Yeah, but when that water falls out, you can fish drains, and it's great. Or here comes all this flood water down. What's it doing here in, you know, July with flood water? But it brings a cool down. I mean, it has a benefit. It has, you know, I mean, you look at it, and like, one part of it stinks, but another part is a benefit.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, that's one reason. This past week, several days, I mean, that top water bite pretty much held up all day long.
That is crazy for this time of year. Yeah. I mean, that's just not, that. I mean, it's great. you fish it in the middle of the day.
You know it and understand it. Like most people that have spent a lot of time on the Delta, typically when we transition into July, the end of June, July, you know, the top water bite a lot of times is good, but it's pretty much that golden magic hour, first hour in the morning and then late in the afternoon. But, you know, we've been seeing that hold up, and I definitely think it's got a lot to do with that water temperature. We've been seeing that top water bite hold up, you know, all through the day.
So now that you've got our interest peaked for sure with that topwater fishing, I have the distinct advantage of looking at some of the pictures you've texted me. But let's go through for everybody else what you're throwing. You said buzzbaits first of all, which I love. So when you talk about buzzbaits, we can go down the aisle there, and there's a lot of buzzbaits out there. Is size, color, noise? What are you throwing? Kind of what's best?
What I've been primarily throwing and catching, and you'll see it in those pictures, Sean, is I throw the Lot Lures, that little mini buzz. It's a double
great.
Bladed, and I like the quarter ounce. Now, a lot of people throw the head knocker that Keith makes, and that's a fantastic bait, but the head knocker is a little bigger, and you actually have to move it a little faster, and I really love that mini buzz because I can work that bait so slow, and I catch tremendous numbers of fish on it. Every one of those pictures I've sent you this week is pretty much that quarter ounce mini buzz with a black skirt.
Okay,
that's what I've been throwing. Now I have been catching a lot of good fish, and you've got some pictures with some big walking bait. And when I say walking baits, I'm talking about Zara Spooks, the Lucky Craft Sammy. And I typically throw those when I'm targeting bigger fish. And I only throw those in the very upper reaches of these creeks where that water gets super clear. Because I love to throw that, you know, like a big walking bait. You know, you walk the dog with it. That's what I'm talking about for anybody that hadn't ever heard that nomenclature. But I like those up in that clear water. You know, fish will come from a long way. I mean, you can draw them off a cover, and it's a bait that you can work really slow. You know, you can work it, walk that dog, and do it 3-4 times, and you hadn't moved the bait more than a foot.
Well, and you're talking about that clearer water and all that, you're in a situation where the detail, you know, those baits are often, they're well painted. They have a lot of detail. Do you think that matters up there too? Because they really look like, you know, a finger mullet or a fish on the top.
Yeah, I think it really makes a big difference.
Where a buzzbait doesn't look like, I mean, buzzbait, and I'm going to get back into talking buzzbaits because, you know, I love to do it. It doesn't look like anything that's in nature. I mean, a buzzbait does not, it's just a reaction strike. Where walking the dog, the bellies of those baits look like the real thing in that clear water, I guess.
Yeah, they really do. And I pay close attention to the colors when it comes to those big walking baits like that. And you know, I'll try.
So color is important.
Colors, and there's a lot of times when you know one color will be a lot better than the other one.
Lighter or darker? What do you is? Do you have any? I mean, you're talking about different colors. Is it just all kind of different colors, or do lighter colors work better in one situation, darkers in the other?
You know what I like to throw is in that real clear water. I like translucent. the body of the walking bait to be translucent. And by that, I mean a clear, like a sparkling finish on the sides and the belly, and then on the back, a darker color. You know, and it's a fish are looking up at that bait.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of people think, well, you know, they can't see the top of that bait. Let me tell you something, they can. You know, those fish can see, they can really discern things in clear water a lot more than what the average fisherman thinks they can. So, you know, that's one reason, you know, you'll see a lot of those baits, the walking type baits, the spooks and the sammies, like in a frog pattern, and people say, well, you know, they put that silly frog pattern on the top of it. You know, that's just for the fisherman, you know, to catch him. But those fish can see it, too.
All right, and we got like about a minute here for the break, and then I'm going to come back and pick up on the buzzbait side because, you know, I got to. The lengths of the – I mean, Zara, you can get these walking baits in different lengths. How big of a – walking bait are you running?
Well, you know, the one that I've been throwing quite a bit, it's a big bait. It's about 5.5 inches long. You know, it's a big cylindrical body. You know, it's about like a big old cigar. But, you know, what you got to think about there is, you know, a lot of times you're going to catch what you fish for. If you fish for big fish, you know, a lot of times you want to target them with those bigger baits like that.
All right, we'll do this. We're going to run the break and coming back more with Captain Wayne Miller, talking about really some phenomenal fishing. He's always in the fish, but maybe it's good enough that folks like me can get after it too. Top water running throughout the day at the end of June, beginning of July. See, silver lining, high river. Parts of it are bad, parts of it are real good. We'll continue this conversation. I'm going to dig into buzzbaits, and even I'll make him talk frogs too. With me when we return right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan with you. Mike Ward on assignment. And I'm leaving that space there for you to insert your jokes there when it's on assignment. We know what that means. He's fishing. That's fine. It's fine. I'm going to catch up with him later. This man does it. I don't know how many. Have you ever looked at a calendar? How many days a year, Captain Wayne Miller, that you are on the waters at the Mobile Tensaw Delta? I mean, it's got to be very high.
There's some years that it's really ridiculous. I hate to even admit how many days I'm out there.
Is it triple digits?
Oh yeah, definitely.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's why I listen to everything this man says, because he knows how to do it and he's got the time on the water doing it. And we're talking about something that is like in April and May, yeah, man, we're talking top water, right? Top water throughout the day. Even in the summertime, we're talking about top water at first light and last light. But you've had a week this last week catching fish on top water in the middle of the day.
Yeah, it's you know, and something else, you know, that we can attribute some of that to is the pretty phenomenal, you know, return of vegetation in a lot of our bays, our creeks, the rivers. You know, I mean, there's so much grass, there's pads. I mean, it's just there's even milfoil. I mean, we're seeing a resurgence of, you know, aquatic vegetation like we hadn't seen in 15 years. And it just, you know, whenever you see that, even though at times it may be a challenge for some people from the standpoint of, you know, they get aggravated trying to fish through all that, it just really makes the fishing so much better.
Yeah, I mean, when people are going, it gets all tangled up in my trolling motor, this, that, or the other, that's why the fish are there. That's why the bait's there, you know? So that's, yeah, you're right. And you can take advantage of that. You've talked about in the past how to, even when we talked about fishing the bays in the spring, right, waiting for that south wind or a high tide to get up over that grass mat, and then the fish you can catch by, you know, working baits fast across that. I mean, that's a whole fishery that wouldn't exist right there without that grass.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, but you know, this week has really been, you know, it's been super good, and You know, what I'm looking forward to is right before this last high water event, you know, we had just started actually transitioning out into the main rivers to fish.
Right.
And the fishing out in the main rivers was cranking up, man. It was good. And then we had this high water event, and a lot of people don't realize it, but, man, these fish, they know exactly what to do. They're not going to stay out in that river and fight current it's just so strong. They transition right back up with that high water up into those, you know, creeks and get out in the woods. And, man, I have caught so many fish with, you know, crawfish in them, it's amazing because, you know, that's another pattern that you can run right now is these crawfish-colored crankbaits. And I think I sent you some pictures of that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, but primarily what I do on that is I don't just throw a crankbait anywhere. What I typically like to do is anytime I'm in one of these creeks and I get around an area that you've got a cut or a drain, that's usually where fish are going to stack up, and they're going to utilize either the current from the river or the creek or the tide current to feed on crawfish in those areas where you've got a cut.
And for people who don't know a cut, you know, kind of describe how our bayous and all that run. Like, where's the cut?
Well, you know, as you come off the main river and you run into these creeks, as you start up, you'll see little, sometimes they're real small. They may be, you know, a couple of feet wide, or they could be, you know, they can be 30, 40 yards wide. But, you know, cuts are just lanes that go up into the woods.
And the water's coming, and water's coming through.
Water.
Right, and the water's coming in and kind of intersecting the main flow.
Right.
It's a different flow from the main flow of whatever the creek or the bayou you're on.
Yeah, and a lot of times what you'll see with current flow is you'll see right in front of those cuts or creeks, you'll see a transition in the water color, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times the water coming out of those creeks will be clearer, or coming out of the drains will be clearer than the main body of water. And that's a perfect place to target those fish with the crankbait. Because, like I say, those type areas are where these fish will stack up. And, you know, I mean, I had just a phenomenal day this past week. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I'd have to look back at my pictures. I pulled up on one little cut that was about, you know, 20 yards wide. I made a shot in there with a crankbait, caught one about 2.5. Next cast, caught one about 3. I ended up catching 4 fish right there on 5 casts. And
wow.
The other cast, I lost one.
Can't do better than that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it just, but that's the kind of thing that can happen. And that's one reason, you know, and we've talked about this in the past. And especially this time of year, man, it's a great idea to have, you know, a variety of baits on the deck ready to reach down and pick up and throw. Because, like, you know, I'll be throwing that crankbait, and I mean that buzz bait, and you think, well, man, you're on a topwater pattern. But all of a sudden, when you get to one of those little intersections and you've got a cut, you know, hey, put that buzz bait down, pick that crankbait up, and just make 3 or 4 shots with it.
Absolutely.
You know? And a lot of times, you know, you may not catch anything, but a lot of times you'll do just like I did that day. Man, you'll fire a school of fish that's sitting there trying to eat crawfish. And, you know, it's just a real bonanza when you run into things like that. But you constantly have to be thinking about that, you know, to make yourself, you know, really dissect the body of water that you're moving on and trying to fish it. But you just can't lock into one particular pattern. You know, you really need to be a little more versatile.
You know, I want to jump back to the topwater side, because, you know, I will. So my heart is. So we got in the discussion, we started about talking about walking baits, but we didn't go really into the, you know, the buzz bait world. And you talked about, and I want to talk about lot lures too, and getting these buzz baits for folks and getting the right stuff for works around here. But it is, you got into it a little bit, but size of the buzz bait, kind of weight and size of the buzz bait relative to how fast you have to run something on the top versus a small, you know, I mean, that some days it's not just the size because you're trying to mimic a certain size bait on the top. It's because it determines how slowly you can run the bait, right? Or how fast.
Yeah,
kind of
really
get into
does,
that. Like, you know, if somebody's trying to buy one, why would they get one versus the other? What does one do versus what does another do?
Yeah. You know, one of the things you really, you know, and you, I know you've done it for years. I mean, we all have. You remember back in the day when people used to go down the road, they had a they'd hold their buzz bait out, you know, and they'd bend the blades and they'd let the wind blow it, you know, and they wanted to loosen it up on the, you know, the wire of the bait, you know, where it would squeal and crackle and pop, you know, just make all kind of crazy noise. And that's something that you can do. I mean, a lot of times it's directly related just to the sound that that bait is putting off. You know, and it's not necessarily a size, you know, component that really measures your success. You know, in other words, I mean, I've seen some days when you could throw like a clacker, you know, and that's one where you've got a blade that actually hits the body of the buzz bait. And that's, you know, Keith makes one like that. Now, that's not what the mini buzz does, one that I like. But he makes one that does that. It's called a headbanger. And but there's times when that headbanger, you know, they'll hit it. It doesn't matter if it's a quarter ounce or, you know, even the big ones.
But sometimes they won't. Though, right, this is what we get into, folks who don't do this. You'll be throwing, you could just say, yeah, there's no buzzbait bite. They're not top order. This is not a bite. And you switch to another retrieve speed or a different blade combination. And sure as heck, they're there. You just weren't. They didn't like something you were doing before.
Yeah, you know, and one thing that'll key you in on that a lot of times, and people miss this, but I've seen people do this so many times. You know, they'll say, "Man, that's the third fish I've seen that followed that bait all the way to the boat."
Uh-huh.
You know, he turned. I saw him turn off when it got to the boat. And what that's telling you is, you know, that fish is feeding. I mean, he's wanting to eat something, but something just wouldn't quite make him pull the trigger on that bait. So you need to change either the size or the sound. And, you know, you can do that. You know, I mean, you can, you know, I typically don't like to move from size to make it my first change. I typically like to go with a little bit different sound.
Okay.
And, you know, but I'll do that, and then I may even change the skirt color. You know, it may be a scenario where you need to change your trailer or the skirt color. You know, and over time, you know, you'll have colors that you really start getting some confidence in. But, you know, typically under low light conditions, you just want to throw a darker colored skirt. And but you can do that, and then, you know, it's amazing. I mean, that's the fun part about it, man. That's the juice is when you figure out what's going on and you make a change like that, and it's like you flip a switch, and instead of following it to the boat, man, they start wrecking.
Hey, let's do this. Can you hold on another segment? Because I got many more buzzbait questions, and we hadn't even talked frogs yet.
Yeah, man.
All right, coming right back. More Captain Wayne Miller right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. This is the problem when we do this on the show, and I still have things to do here, and all I want to do right now is go throw topwater for bass. This is what happens when I talk to my buddy Captain Wayne Miller, and you and I were just talking about throwing frogs during the break. But and so just we'll finish buzzbaits, and then I'll get to my favorite subject, throwing frogs. But buzzbait wise. And let's talk too, because we've mentioned several times Lots Lures. How do you get in touch with Keith. How do you do this?
Well, you know, all the you know, the local tackle shops here, pretty much all of them in and around Mobile carry Keith's baits. So, you know, he's got some fantastic spinner baits that are, you know, real well known here, and also the BuzzBait line, and he sells a really good bladed jig called a Thumper. And, you know, I've caught a few fish on it this week, but unfortunately, it seemed like every time I picked it up, I caught a world record grannel. So finally had to give up on it. but yeah, I mean, you know, you can find Keith's product line in just about all the local, you know, not the big box stores.
Like our local folks, yeah. Shops. Yeah, our local folks. So, and they just go in, you know, ask for lots of lures, right? Just they'll know what you're talking about. And yeah, and that, and you know what, the nice thing is, y'all, that's taking the guesswork out of a lot of things, because you can go buy. We talk about this with saltwater fishing a whole bunch for inshore fishing or different things. You know, what works around here? These are baits made for the Mobile Tensaw Delta. I mean, that's what they're made for. I mean, that's their purpose. Their purpose
really
in life.
Sean, because, you know, Keith goes with me a lot, and, you know, I've worked with him quite a bit, you know, to help him, you know, refine some of these baits. And, you know, I mean, he's done a phenomenal job in creating a targeted product line for the Delta. And, you know, he makes a really good, what you call a Delta Sally. It's an inline spinner bait.
Y'all have heard us talk about Sallys in the past.
Yeah. Job too.
And that's a bait, right? So it's like the Sally, popular for us down here because of grass and the stuff we were talking about earlier that we fish through. That maybe if you, well, Guntersville's got a lot of grass, but pick, you know, one of those maybe east central Alabama lakes where they don't have that kind of grass. It may not be nearly as popular. It's not as useful as it is here.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, these are baits that really do well on the Delta. And, you know, that's one of the biggest challenges because, you know, when especially, you know, people new to the sport, you know, it's pretty overwhelming when you go into, you know, these tackle stores and, mm-hmm. you know, there's 28 different varieties of
baits. Right, right.
Know, and you're kind of at a loss as to where to even start with it.
So now let's talk about this this subject of frogs, okay? So kind of if y'all haven't been listening over the years, this is Wayne knows this. I have this addiction to throwing frogs for bass. But when we say frogs, that it doesn't tell anybody anything, because I could go from, you know, a small like plastic lure material frog that's going to tear up after a couple bass to something like a Spro that's like a work of art that lasts until you lose it, right? I mean, it's when we say frogs, and you fish them different ways. Kind of walk us through the world of frogs and how you use them.
Yeah, you know, what you'll find is, you know, you've got, there's this tremendous, just about every major bait manufacturer has got a line of soft, hollow-bodied frogs. And, these, like you mentioned, the Spro is one of the probably most popular, and also one of the best, you know, in my opinion, one of the best frogs you can buy. And one easy name you can remember for anybody new out there looking at them is just look for the Spro Bronze Eye Frog. And, you know, there's a lot of different colors. Now, when it comes to the frogs, I personally like, you know, the natural colors.
Mm-hmm. You can get them in like a psychedelic.
The green and yellow, you know, but they make them in so many different colors. I typically like to stay with a green. I like to throw a white and a black. That's pretty much what I do.
And talk about, too, I mean, say the difference between a bronze, because they make like a, they make a bronze eye popping frog. They make a regular bronze eye. I mean, so there's a. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with one, but what we're talking about here, at least I am, I'm talking about a pointed head bronze eye.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just call it. It's the normal one. It's the non. Not that the popping one doesn't work, but I just like that regular bronze eye best.
Yeah, the regular bronze eye, you know, has got a pointed nose. And, you know, what you have to think about is, you know, when you've got that shape on the head of that bait, is, you know, it comes through grass really good.
Yep.
It comes through pads. And it also will walk the dog, like we were talking about on those, you know, hard-bodied baits. But now they also make, you know, a popping troll, which is kind of a concave front, you know, the nose of it. And it's really good if you want to, you know, keep the bait in one place and move some water. And by moving the water, I mean you can lower your rod and just make, you know, twitches with it and make it gurgle and pop.
Yep.
And a lot of times, man, that will make one mad, and there's a reason Sean loves to throw the phone. The reason is when you get some hits that will literally make your heart stop.
Yes. Yeah, we lost you for a second there on the phone coming back. But, yeah, they'll make your heart stop, make you and make you, like, like dance on the deck of the boat. It's so exciting. And on this frog stuff, and solid-bodied frogs, I run those too. Okay, I run those. But, y'all, the thing with the solid body, they're great when you're cranking and moving it across the top of the water. But when you stop with it, it could be, like you said, Wayne, I mean, you could be walking the dog, but you could be going, like I say, taking it off-road, taking it up across mats and pads. At the same time, you could dead stick it and get that huge reaction strike from a bait that just stopped moving. I mean, it all on the same cast with that frog.
Yeah.
With like a
You know, the solid-bodied frog, like the, you know, the horny toad.
Yep.
And, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of different manufacturers of them. You know, they're great. And I really like those. And my experience has been those are really good on days when the buzzbait bites home.
Yeah.
Because typically you've got fish that are a little more aggressive. And when they're like that, you know, that's a good option to go to. You know, if you've already hit an area with that buzzbait, you may want to come back and lick it again. But this time throw one of those hard-bodied frogs, you know, and work it over that grass and over that area, you know, to try to get some more bites on it. But those are really good when fish are a little more active.
Yep. And then if you go to these hollow-bodied, like we're talking about when we start off, like the bronze eye, it can be used that same way, but it's more like a, if I use a term, it's like a finesse bait in a way, if you want to. It's like a finesse frog. I don't know if that term's
really
been used.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I mean, the way I look at that is, man, I know this is gonna sound silly coming from a man, but it's almost I love it's like that bait is sitting there, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's just I dare you, buddy. I dare you to come hit me.
That's how I think mean, it, because when you can stop a frog. You've been moving, you stop it, and it has, if y'all have, it has some tassels off, it's rubber legs off it that will move in the water, but it stops. It's almost like, you know, throwing a popper for brim, right, on a fly rod,
yeah,
and letting the ripples stop, and then that popper gets hit. I'm going to leave the show here. So we're going fishing right now. But you get that kind of reaction bite out of those hollow-bodied frogs, and like, good point. I mean, so solid-bodied frogs, use those when you're using buzz baits. This is kind of a different thing. It's a finesse fishing.
And, you know, something else that I usually like to do, you know, when I'm in the front of the boat throwing a buzz bait, especially first thing in the morning, you know, if I've got somebody with me, you know, get them to throw a frog. You know, just put a couple of different baits out there, and what that enables you to do is you can fine-tune that pattern so much quicker if you've got two people trying different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really, a lot of times, you know, and it's human nature. I mean, when your buddy has just caught two big fish, you want to throw the same thing he's throwing. But, you know, it's okay to do that if, you know, after you really establish that, you know, that's all they're going to eat. And you really need to be, you know, keyed in on that pattern. But until then, it's usually real helpful, you know, to try different baits, especially, you know, on days where, you know, you've got guys that are covering a lot of water. Because, you know, this time of year, especially with a buzzbait bite, I know I'm guilty of it, and you probably are too, Sean. We have a tendency to fish really fast.
Yep.
And, you know, because you just, you know, you always think, well, man, that next patch of grass right up there, there's going to be a 3-pounder on it, you know, and we'll zoom past a lot of fish. And a lot of times, that's when the guy in the back of the boat may actually really start stroking
yep.
the fish versus the guy in the front.
Yeah, the guy in the front stirs them up, and the guy in the back picks out the good parts out of them.
Yeah, really does. So, you know, but, you know, it's just a great time of year to fish. And, you know, what we're going to see over the next, you know, week or two on the Delta, even though, you know, I mean, eventually, yes, this water is going to warm up.
Yep.
It is July, and it's fixing to get some kind of hot. But even though we're going to experience that, you know, the rivers are cleaning up. They're going to be cleaning up. So we'll have, you know, not only the can you target the deeper creeks, but you can also transition out in those main rivers. So, you know, the fishing really ought to just, you know, really stay good here over the next, you know, 2-3 weeks.
Can't wait. All right, let's do this. Folks hear us talk about this, and they could call you and say, hey, I want to go throw some frogs, right? And y'all could do that.
Oh, yeah, man.
How they get in touch with you? How they get a trip booked with you?
They can reach me at 251-455-7404.
As always, I love our conversations. Can't wait to get back out on the water and you and I go throw some frogs. How about that?
That sounds good, buddy. I'm ready.
All right, Captain Wayne Miller, and he's always great to talk to on this. Does that not fire you up to go bass fishing? Give him a call. All right, coming right back to wrap it up here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. A couple odds and ends and more bears in the news. You know, if that doesn't get you fired up to go throw topwater, I don't know what will. Same thing. I love it. Like, I love frog fishing for bass. It's kind of the same way I am throwing topwater for trout, wade fishing. I'd take one fish on topwater for every five beneath. It's just a lot more exciting. All right. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here. Mike Ward's on assignment. He should be back with us soon. Of course, Rodeo Talk in the mix. We'll be talking to more folks from the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo this next coming week on Midday Mobile, that other show I do during the weekdays. So we'll continue that conversation. Tickets on sale now for the 88th annual Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Plus the weekend before, of course, you have the Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament. And the question is, snapper or not? And that's what I'm going to be digging into next week on the show, because on the midday show, and then we'll report it back here next week on this show. But remember, we've had so many conversations this spring leading into the setting of the snapper season dates, and then once those dates were set, we had conversations with Scott Bannon, director of Alabama Marine Resources, talking about this allotment, right? The feds allot the tonnage, and then the state works out for state management the number of days, you know, how we try to fish that tonnage, how we go through that amount. Well, it's what I love about state management, instead of it being like it used to with the feds, they just say, well, you know, here's the formula. It's this many pounds a day, this many anglers. We realize through state management and using snapper check that we can actually report reality. And reality has been it's been rough, and not as many people have gone so far in the month of June. You know, I mean, last time I've snapper fished, I think I talked about it on last week's show, was Memorial Day weekend. Haven't gone since then. Be trying to go here today, tomorrow, into Monday. But maybe we go further into July with our snapper than predicted. Like, right now, the projection was going through this weekend, right? This extended weekend. and then they were going to reassess. Maybe we have another couple weekends in it. So we'll talk about that some next week. All right. Also mentioned coyote hog hunting at night. We talked about it at length this spring. That law that we talked about is now in effect. It was in effect on Thursday, the 1st of July. Remember, this gives you the ability. You used to be able to do this, but you had to have landowner permission and had to talk to the game warden. As of now, you can get a license, an additional license, to hunt coyotes and hogs at night. The bill was signed into law back a couple months ago, but now it is go time for this. So you can check online, too, at OutdoorAlabama.com. So you have, this is the ability to be able to, on property that you're allowed to hunt, not just, but you know, your club or somewhere like that, that you can be hunting hogs, which you could do before at night, but you had to make the, you know, you had to make the game warden aware. You had to go through a couple different steps. If it wasn't your property, your leasing, you had to have express, you know, permission from the landowner. So this is all the folks that have all those great rifles with the thermal optics and all that. You can use thermal optics, laser lights, and you can use that for hunting hogs and coyotes, but you need to go through OutdoorAlabama.com to get the additional license. Season each year, the night hunting season, we'll call it, runs from the 1st of July through November 1st. All right, so that's law. And also, you got another, a week or so? July 14th is the cutoff for the Gator Lottery. So if you're in, if you wanted to do that and you hadn't gotten your application in, once again, OutdoorAlabama.com, you go over there and get your, it's through the 14th. I think through the 14th to get that done. I did it last month like I usually do it in May every year. You can go to OutdoorAlabama.com, just search Alligator. It'll show you that process of getting your lottery. And you can select, you can only enter one time per one area of the state. Remember, the state's cut up in different zones for alligator season, so you get one entry into that lottery. And the beauty of it is we build preference points now doing that, and have been for the last 4 years or so, 5 years, a lot like when I enter draws out west. Like if you don't get, like I didn't get drawn, I didn't get drawn for anything out west this year, but if you don't get drawn for Colorado, for example, for a mule deer thing, so next year my name goes in twice versus once. And if I went 3 years without getting drawn, I go three times versus once. So you get some benefit. Each year you don't get drawn, you get a little better situation for the next year. And I want to say this before we run out of time, because we've talked about bears a whole bunch on this show, and people know I'm crazy about the black bears. I'm talking about the black bears in our state. Always have been. Was lucky enough to be around them in the 80s when I started hunting as a kid, and have continued to be, you know, in places where I see them, you know, when I'm lucky enough to. It's not as big deal anymore. And there's a story. So there are a couple stories here locally. And we talked about the story of the one that was hit out on Cottage Hill Road about 3 weeks ago, like right there at the city limits, kind of a big deal. There's, you can't go by a week. And now folks in Saraland see them a good bit, but there's different areas, Eastern Shore, Daphne seen them. And all. This is spring. This is when male bears move, young male bears move. This is usually when most of the sightings happen, and it's following that. But this story, there's a probably the, I'd say if there's a famous black bear other than Smokey, at least recently, has been Bruno. Now you can Google Bruno the bear, and see stories from kind of like so many different states about this black bear, big black bear, but it tells something about how they move, and distances, because Bruno, that even had a, I think he also had a Facebook page that followed him. But it says here from Nextdoor Media, a bear that gained social media following while wandering hundreds of miles in the Midwest eventually reached Louisiana and has died after being hit by a vehicle. A male bear dubbed Bruno was euthanized on Tuesday because there's no way he could have survived. They go through that whole that. Biologists estimated that Bruno had been injured about a month before, where a homeowner in Morehouse Parish, which is on the Arkansas state line of northeastern Louisiana, called the department saying Tuesday they saw a bear in their yard that would not leave. The bear had really succumbed to his injuries. It couldn't use its back legs. So this last trek for him was an 800-mile trek into Louisiana. But Bruno the bear in the past had traveled in Wisconsin, y'all, Illinois, and Iowa, swimming the Mississippi River, documented. This is how many times they documented it. Four times he swam the Mississippi River. That's how many times they saw him do it. He got cornered between two interstates, drew a crowd. He's had cameras on him. He's like, if you watch Fox News Channel and they had a thing about bears, it was usually Bruno somewhere in this country. He got 4th of July weekend last year. He got was out on the highway again near St. Louis, Missouri. He's been tracked, I mean, like six different states, hundreds of miles, usually in the Illinois, Iowa area, some Missouri, and he dies down in Louisiana. So just give you an idea on when we have stories of, oh, they saw a bear here, and then there's seeing a bear. The Joker's move. Now, Bruno probably the most famous of those bears that moved all around. But, yeah, here's a bear that really made his TV chops in Wisconsin and Illinois and Iowa, who then kind of had a Missouri thing on occasion, who ends up dying this last week in Louisiana. Put things in perspective on how much those wild critters move around, which I think is one of the many things that's so cool about them. All right, coming back next week, we'll do it all again for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward will be back with us, and Prep Sports Report. Hey, y'all, they're on the way next.